Yeah, we actually friends. So not only we are friends to one another, but also God calls us friends. Of course, we are His servants. We are His, created. But at the same time, He would like to make friends with us. And His words challenge us and encourage us about this kind of special relationship with Him. So today, we would like to look into that kind of relationship and find out how we can be a true friend with Him vertically and with one another horizontally. You, as you have, may have noticed, I'm just starting a little bit talking about the signs, vertical and horizontal. But anyway, let's go to His presence and pray and start our worship. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for being our friends, for calling us Your friends. And especially thank You for sending Your only Son to lay down His life for His friends. So please give us an attentive heart to meditate on the friendship that we can have with You and we can have with one another today. So let Your words speak and let Your Holy Spirit move here freely. And let us all hear Your words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Alright, I don't know about you, but I heard a few proverbs that is related to friendship. And in Chinese, there's a saying that goes like this. A friend, maybe some of your parents and some of your, with friends that have a have some ties with Chinese culture have heard of this before. But anyway, it goes like this. So a friend, a true friend, is someone that can suffer a knife or a spear in his ribs for you. Does that make sense? In other words, it says, okay, when you're in trouble, when you are in a danger of injury, and someone will replace you, and he would be willing to take the suffer, even if there's knife or spear in his ribs, he will be willing to do that. And this is what a true friend does. This is a Chinese saying that goes like this. But I noticed that there are a lot of some people are smiling. I don't know if that's because my translation was bad or what. It's in Chinese it was very concise, just a few words. You can see that. But anyway, I hope that was a good translation. But anyway, in English there's also a saying that I learned from my middle school. There's another saying. I started to learn English back in my middle school, and that was in 1987-89. I'm not afraid of telling you that. I know you guys are good at math, and you can figure out how old I am, but I don't care, okay? We're all friends in the Lord. Anyway, I was back in the 87-89. I was studying to learn English, and my English was horrible at that time. But anyway, I remember some kind of things there. And one of those things was like this in English. It says, a friend indeed is a friend in need. So if I recall that correctly, I learned that from my middle school. Really, these two similar sayings to some degree have grasped the essentials of the true friendship that Jesus wanted us to know. Because He says something about the friendship in the passage that we're going to look at today, which is John 15:12-17. Last time when I was here, I was sharing God's word from the previous verses. That was John 15:1 through 11. And we have seen from those passage, we have seen three causes or three reasons that we should give thanks to God and we should be joyful. So let us just do a little bit of review and see if we can remember what are those reasons we can be joyful before we actually come to today's message. Okay? So we should, just like, you know, the call to worship verses said, all these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and your joy should be full. All these things. What things? Okay, we have talked about three things. Three things that Jesus told us to be joyful and thankful. And those three things all start with C. So, that's kind of a pop quiz or something. Okay. What were the reasons? We should give thanks to God because we have been cleansed. And also because we have been cared for. And also because we have been commanded. So, cleansed, cared for, and commanded. Those are the three causes that we should give thanks to God and be rejoicing every day in our life. But today we're going to move on because the last cause that Jesus gave us is that we remain, if we keep His commands, even as He has kept His Father's command, we will abide in love of Him, just like He abides in Father's love. So how we can keep our commandment, and what is the result of keeping His commandment? He continues to say, if you keep my commandments, you are my friends. So this is what some of the verses that we're going to look at. Last time I had my son Alex recite that for us. But I figured that, you know, I admit that he has got a much better memory than I do. But today's message, the passage is a little bit shorter, so I don't bother inviting him again. So I will try to recite that myself. And I just want to challenge you and encourage you. Okay, some of you are high school, and this is a golden age of memorizing scriptures. And I'm much older than you. If I can do that, I'm pretty sure you can double or triple that. Okay, and it's good to have a plan. Okay, you know, if you want to recite God's word, it's better to have a plan. If you do not have a plan currently, I encourage you to just take John 15. Okay, John 15 is a very, very good place to start. Okay, so I will go with the John 15, 12 to 17. And by the way, I'm using the KJV. Okay, there's no specific reason I'm using that. If you really ask me, I would think this is because I'm using that because it's free. It's free in my because of its availability. Okay, I'm not saying I know KJV is a good translation. I know NIV is also. I know NASB is also a good translation. I think the best translation is the one that you are using and you read. Okay, so don't judge on that. But the only reason I'm using that, or the major reason, is that it's free to me, okay, when it's very, very convenient for me to get from my phone and other things, but NIV is not free, okay. All right, here we go. John 15, 12 to 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lays down his love for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye keep whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, For the servant knows not what his Lord does, but I have called you friend, for all things that I heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit will remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things have I commanded you, that ye love one another. Alright, in this passage, one phenomenon that stands out for us to notice very immediately is that what we call enclosure, aka a envelope or a bracket structure. If you notice, the start and the end, they have the similar information. So it's kind of like a bracket or an envelope. Or more technically, it's called enclosure. Okay, by the nature of this literature device, which is very common in Hebrew and Greek, by the nature of it, the main thrust of this passage is about the start and end. But how does this passage start and end? This passage starts with, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another." And this passage ends with, "This commandment, these things have I commanded you, that ye love one another." So, in this literature device, everything in between them is supposed to support or illustrate or interpret or prove or do whatever you can to explain what the main thrust is, which is we are challenged to keep Jesus' commandment to love one another. And this love is just like he has loved us and treated us as friends. How did he treat us as friends? By laying down his life for us while we are still sinners. However, can we be really a true friend as he has been to us? He really wants us to. And how can we do? And he's not stopping there, and he continues to go, and he teaches a few things to try to be a true friend of him and a friend of one another. And these are the things that he teaches in between the bracket or envelope. Okay. And he teaches to give, number one, and number two, to receive, and number three, to believe, in order that we can be friends of Jesus vertically and friends of one another horizontally. Okay, let's look at them one by one. Okay, number one, give. A true mark of a friendship is to give, according to Jesus in these two verses. It means to lay down one's life, to do whatsoever is commanded by him. That means that we give our life to Jesus entirely, not partially, for his use, not our usage. This is a true mark. But actually, let's pause here for a second. How can you give your entire life to Jesus? How can you do that? My suggestion is that you need to practice and give them part by part, step by step. Okay, we know that the Rome is not built in one day. Okay, if you boast that someday I can give my entire life to Jesus, I would ask you this. Can you give him a little bit part of your life first, today? Let's not lie to ourselves. Let's not talk about too far away. Okay, let's talk about today. Are you willing to lay down some part of your life to Jesus today? Okay. And it's natural thinking. And also Jesus taught about that. And before Jesus gave his entire life, he showed us some examples, gave some content of his life step by step first. For example, and he showed us the example, okay? Before he actually went to the cross, and before his crucifixion, and you know, he gave time to his disciples. He spent time with his disciples. And he gave out his opinions to his parents, earthly parents. The Bible records that he was obedient to his earthly father. We figure that in our household, there are a lot of opinions going on. I don't know about you, but in my household, there are a lot of opinions, different opinions. But how can you be obedient to someone that has authority over you? By laying down your opinion. I'm pretty sure this is what Jesus did. Okay, by doing that, we're not saying that he is compromising the truth. No, he's not. But in some favor things, not related to the absolute truth, he was laying down his opinion to his earthly parents. And he's laying down his, you know, time and his possessions there. You know, Philippians chapter 2 records that. He has all this kind of glory in heaven, but he lays that down. He chooses to be dwelling in us. The word made flesh, dwelling in us. This is what he sacrificed, step by step, leading to his entire laying down his life. So, we can just do that, because this is his teaching. And imagine that, if you're running a marathon, what do you start with? You start with maybe 100 meters, 200 meters, a mile, and then half marathon. And then finally a marathon, right? This is what you do. But when I was 19, I was preparing a bicycle trip from Shanghai to Xinjiang, which is a little bit more than 3,000 miles. So it's from here, it's just like from here to California. What do you do first? You get on your bike and go, right? You do that? No, you don't do that. Probably you start with Charlotte. Okay, you go to Charlotte back and forth and see if your body can endure that. And then you come back home and get some rest and then go to Atlanta, right? And then a few trips go later and you can do that. You find out your body can really endure that. And this is exactly what I did. From Shanghai to Suzhou and Changzhou, which are two cities in Shanghai's adjacent province. This is what we did. Okay. So, before you can boast, or before you can lie that you can give your entire life to Jesus, let us just slow down a little bit. Okay. Give your time first. Give your money first. Give your knowledge. Give your opinions first. Before you can really see, in one day I can give my entire life to Jesus. And here I have to praise my kids about that. Recently, my kids are you know, wonderful to teach me this kind of lesson, because it's hard for me to give up my opinion. But Alex and Esther, they demonstrated very well how to give out their opinion and for a better purpose. You know, my parents recently got here. My mom finally got accepted for her visa in the sixth try. She has been denied for 5 times. But anyway, she was here and my father was here like a month ago. But my mother, my father is a smoker. And he couldn't stand without smoking. But he was kind of overconfident, so he didn't bring much cigarettes with him. And he said, okay, I would be okay after this cigarette is used up. Okay. But he was not okay when the cigarette was up. Then he got on a bicycle and went to somewhere. We don't know where he went. And he didn't know any English. And he took the risk of being lost, being mistreated by someone because of their language barrier, being injured by a car. It's so because the neighborhood we're living is very close to a road which does not have a sidewalk. But anyway, he did that. And I heard that. So I just hurried home and I just wanted to say, Daddy, we don't like you smoking, but we love you. So we don't want you to be injured. We know that smoke is bad, but there are worse things in this world. So I was going to see that. But before I really opened my mouth, Alex took the initiative. And he initiated that. And he said almost the same thing as I was going to say. When he heard that in the car, we were driving home, and I was going to see that thing, but I did not open my mouth seeing it. And he said, Daddy, wow, that was dangerous. So let us give him back those three boxes of cigarettes that F and I have hidden. So they hid this secret. But now he said, Daddy, it's so dangerous. We know that smoking is bad, but being dangerous is even worse. So let's go home and F and I will get this out and give it to him. And this is exactly what they did. So I was so touched, and this is a wonderful example of giving out your opinions. Of course, from my dad's, from the grandpa's opinion, smoking is good, Smoking is good. It helps me relax, and it helps me, sleep better, whatever. He thinks smoking is good, but Alexander Esther thinks smoke is bad. But even they think so, they can still give out that opinion, because this opinion is not absolutely true, It's, you can have your opinion. And as they notice that there are much worse things than smoking, and they don't want those worse things to happen. So this is how you can give. And start giving some time to your friends. Start giving your opinions out. Start giving your money to your friends. And this is how we can be a true friend. This is one of the marks. The second mark is to receive. Notice that. Okay, you will ask what you will. Ask of the Father in my name, and he may give it you. When he gives, you receive. But how? How can we receive? Please notice the sequence. Please notice the sequence and the context that that Jesus was saying, and was saying that the Heavenly Father is going to give you that. And what is the sequence? It starts with this. It starts with, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bear fruit, that your fruit might remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So, the sequence and the context here is very outstanding. We cannot receive unless we ask. We cannot ask unless we go and bear fruit that remains. We cannot go and bear fruit unless we are chosen and ordained. We cannot be chosen unless Jesus makes known to us all things that he has heard of the Father. He cannot do that unless he chooses to be a friend of us. So how can we receive from God? We need to ask. And back to the context in the previous passage in John 15:7, just a little bit before that, this is how your things can be accomplished. It says like this, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, then you ask what you will, and He may give it you. He may make it happen in your life. So the context is that you need to remain in Him. You need to abide in His commandments. So this is how you can receive. So before we really desire receiving anything from the Lord, let us examine ourselves. Examine our own hearts. Are we really abiding in His word? Are we really abiding in His examples? In His, you know, imitating Him. He was giving out His time. He's giving out His affirmative words. He was giving out the service. He was giving out, you know, He's giving out the confirmation, the gift. Okay, some of you noticed that I was kind of quoting the five love languages. Okay, those are the five things you can give. Okay, you can give Him a high five, give Him a hug. You can give Him quality time spent with your friend. You can give Him affirmative words, encouraging, building people up. You can give some gift to your people. And that sometimes involves with money or sometimes not. Okay, just look at how you spend your time, how you spend your money. And this is where your heart is. And this is where the measurement of the true friendship with Jesus is. So, it sounds like, you know, it's like a win-win. It's like a win-win situation, okay? I give and I receive. But I wonder why not so many people are doing that. There must be some reason people are not doing this. Why are people not receiving blessings from God? Well, one of the reasons might be I don't believe it. It's too good. It's too good to be true. Is God really forgiving me? I've done so many bad things. Is God really going to forgive me? It's too good to be true. Sometimes doubt, sometimes non-belief will rule us from that opportunity. But you know, we can have our belief because of the fact. The fact is that Jesus suffered. Jesus laid down His entire life for us. And the Bible says that, okay, when we are not, when people are looking at Jesus, and we are looking at Jesus laying down His life, and God continues to say, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all other things? This is in Romans 8, somewhere. But anyway, the point is that He has given us the best thing, the most precious things. So, how shall He not with Him freely also give us other things? So we can have that kind of belief. It's just on the fact. We're not just making that up. We're not imagining something like this. But we're basing our belief on the fact. And not only the fact of laying down His life, but also on the fact of His resurrection. And when He resurrects, we have the power, we can have, you know, have the strong message to tell the world. And now, this is how you can be a true friend with Jesus and with one another. First, try to believe. Believe is the most, is the very first step. And when you believe, you automatically have received. And when you receive, when you are full, automatically your life is flowing out. Just like the a simple example, the demonstration I'm going to do to you. Okay? So, when you actually believe, This is what happens. When you believe, you are establishing a relationship with God. And God's love is pouring down into your life. And the Bible tells us we are His vessels. And let me use this cup as a vessel of Him. Okay. And when He actually pours down His love and His blessings in our life, we receive too much. It's too much. Okay. It's so much that it will flow out. Just like a rule that, you know, in our physics class, we are talking about the conservation. Okay. Conservation of mass, conservation of energy, and conservation of current. And whatever you get, it will go out. And recently we are on the current and the voltage. Okay, there is a rule called the Kirchhoff's rule. And it says whatever in a conjunction, whatever current goes in your wire in that circuit must go out. So, if you receive God's blessings and you save so much, it's so much. This represents the vertical love, vertical relationship, you and God. Okay? And when God continues to pour, which He did, which He has done, which He will do constantly in your life, He will continue to do that. And you have your vertical blessing, vertical giving and receiving, and you have that constantly. But your vessel isn't limited. So it goes horizontally and it flows up. So just like the psalmist says, He will anoint my head and my cup will overflow. This is how you can be a true friend to God vertically and to our friends horizontally. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank You for being our friend vertically. And also thank You for challenging us to be friends horizontally with one another. We thank You especially for giving us the life that we can overflow. We don't have that unless we receive that. We thank You for giving us that we have received so much that we can make friends with our one another. And please give us wisdom to do that. Love You more. I love our friends. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.